Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Al and team. Thank you, Peter. And thank you for all those that made announcements to remind us of what is going to be happening very shortly here at Bethel in the next few weeks. And beginning next week will be lesson one on the vertical church. Today we're going to have lesson zero. All right, this is preamble and thinking about what we're going to be doing, what our goals are going to be in the next few months, and how we are hoping to have the small groups and the ministry here on Sundays blend together so that we can have, let's say, a togetherness in our thinking, in our challenges that we need to go through and looking at going vertical. And so I'm looking at goals today. If you have a Bible, you can turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. We'll be using that that chapter as our basis for looking at our study this morning and looking at goals. And one of the things that we always have to do in life is to assess our goals and how we're doing reaching those goals. And I'd like to do that today in looking at setting some goals that are scriptural goals, that are biblical goals. And when we look at the whole principle of goals, you know, you set that goal, you make a plan to do it. I suppose there's South Beach diets that people follow, and then after a while they don't follow them so well, and they go north, you know. And it's time to revisit the diet, you know. And a lot of times that happens to us when we look at our goals, and we really have a good goal, a good reason to do something. And you notice point four is sticking to it. That's where a lot of us, like with New Year's resolutions, with good goals that we have, we don't reach that goal, or sometimes we reach it and then we slip back. And so we need to stick to that goal. And I want to look at the maze that is before us in trying to reach those goals and how we can cut right through the maze and get to where we're supposed to be. In other words, to stick to it and to reach our goal. What is your goal in life? A few years ago, the purpose-driven church was something everyone was doing together. I want to look at goals this morning. And I'd like us to look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 3. And it's a prayer of Paul's. And he is, I think, trying to unravel some complicated theology and to really package it together so that the reader, and that would be us this morning, as we read Paul's letter and look at his prayer. This is the one of the Pauline prayers, and really analyze and look at it this morning. And that's why he starts off with these words: "For this reason, I bow my knees." And we're going to look at why he is bowing his knees and what he's praying about. But he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the," notice the dimensions of his scope of thinking, "the width and length and depth and height. Therefore, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." And then he adds, "Now to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." And which is our fundamental thought when we look at the vertical church. It's to bring him glory. The chief end of man is to know God, is to glorify him, and to enjoy him forever. God wants us to enjoy a relationship with him. Goals can help us to really be blessed in the relationship that we have with God. The reason for the prayer. If you look earlier in the chapter, the background to it reveals to us God's eternal purpose, which was a mystery. And so while he's in prison writing this letter, he says, "Don't lose heart because of my tribulations. Don't get focusing in on my problems, which are really not problems. It's just a sphere of what I have to endure. I have to be in prison right now. That's not the issue." He said, "I'm interested in what you're going through." That's a big heart, isn't it? And he tells us that the goal that he has is God's goal, which is for us to appreciate this mystery. If you're like me, you like a good mystery. You like a story where you don't have the ending figured out, and you're hoping that you're going to get it before the end of the story so that you can really enjoy the last few moments of a good story. Well, God has had some mysterious things that people have had difficulty understanding. You may be here this morning and say, I don't really get what God is all about. I don't understand why there's the trouble that there is in the world and why God isn't doing more. And on goes our line of thinking when it comes to trying to understand God. And God doesn't want to make it complicated for us. He does try to make it simple. And so things that are mysteries in the Bible are not things that are mysterious, but things that have been hidden for a while until God gives us the answer. In other words, he's going to tell us what the mystery is all about. And this was the program that God had started with. I'm going to start with a man, and I'm going to spend most of the discussions in the book of Genesis talking about people and not creation. So we get a few chapters on creation, and then God says, but what I really want to talk to you about is about people. God is interested in people. And so he starts telling us about people in the book of Genesis. And he begins with some interesting characters like Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham. And then he spends most of the Bible talking about all of the descendants of these people, and specifically Abraham. And the plan was never a big secret, but God was going to use Abraham and his descendants to bless the whole world. God wants to bless everyone. And that was his program. And somewhere in it all, it all got focused on one nation, on Israel. Paul says, I have good news. The mystery has now been revealed. We can get the blessing. And how do we get it? We'll go to Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise, or his promise in Christ through the gospel. That's the mystery. We get to be part of God's program. We get to join God's family. We get to become a part of Christ because Christ is in us. That's what Paul is telling the Ephesian readers. That's the mystery, that Christ is in you. And you're part of God's special program. God's program is so wide, it includes the whole world. And so the goal of Paul's prayers was for us to appreciate this mystery made possible through the gospel. So when we look at those verses that we read earlier, this is how it slims down to be strengthened with might according to the riches of his glory inwardly, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you would be rooted and grounded in love, that you would understand the extent of the love of Christ and be filled with the fullness of God and be satisfied in that you understand what God's goals are for your life. That's my little bit of a paraphrase on it. And here's what he's saying. The goals of a Christian in our lives is to be not only looking inwardly and outwardly, horizontally, but also the upward look, the vertical church, and get our eyes pointing up to God. You know, if you're discouraged in life, it's often because your sights are set too low. You need to point a little higher to reach your target. And that's what we're talking about in the vertical church, a vertical relationship with God. And the idea is this: before we go up, what do? We need to look at what we're standing on. We need a solid foundation. I don't think any of you would have any hope of being able to jump off your seats right now and reach a target 10 feet in the air. There might be one or two people in this room that could possibly do it. I know I can't. But in order for you to reach up and touch something that high, you need to get down as low as you can go and get that spring in your legs. In fact, if you accelerate a little bit and then get down and go up, you're going to go even higher. We watched that in the Olympics this year. In order to go up, you need to get down. We need a solid foundation. And I want to look at one of the metaphors that he uses in the Ephesian letter, and that is about being rooted and grounded. Before he points us up to God, he reminds us of what our foundation is. And there are some trees that you may have on your property that have got an extensive root system. And it's going to take a big wind to blow them down because they are so firmly grounded. When you want to see something grounded, you look at foundation. Does anyone know what this is? Say that louder.
Drilling rig.
It's not a drilling rig. It looks like it. It is a foundation that was built for the Burj Tower in Dubai in order to go up over 2,000 feet in the air. I can't tell you the number of tons of concrete that are in this foundation and the number of tons of rebar. So before you go up, you need to go down. You need a solid foundation. You know, the Lord said, the wise man builds his house on a rock. And when the storms come, it's not going to move that house. In fact, the newest designs are pointing for towers that are going to be as high as a mile in the air, both in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and in Malaysia. And they are massive foundations. We have a great foundation. In order to appreciate it, we need to look at what our goals are in life. And I went through this and simply looked at what are people's basic goals? To know, to be, to do. To get, to have, to think. To learn, to satisfy, to love. Those are nine. You could pick many more. But I think there are nine fundamental goals of most people, one way or another. When you plan to go to school, perhaps after high school, you may be thinking of college, you may be thinking of a trade, you may be thinking of a particular job, you may be thinking of more academic training. And you plot your course. You need goals. And what is beyond those short-term goals are the long-term goals of an occupation. When you're dating someone or having a close relationship with someone, it may be for a more permanent relationship. And you need a good foundation for all of those goals. And these are nine ways to look at them. To know what you want, to be what you want to be, to do what you want to do, to get what you want, to have the things that you feel you need in life or you want, to think a particular way, to change your understanding, to learn, to be satisfied, and to love. It's not that simple, though. Does anybody have the answer? See who the math majors are here.
Five,
thank you. The answer is five, but, in our cartoon drawing, find X, there it is, And sometimes we think it's that simple. We have to do a little bit of work to get the answer. And the simplest solutions are not always the right solutions. Going up means foundation. We have the example of one who had goals. We don't think of the Lord Jesus sometimes having goals like we would set, but I think when we look at God's word, we can see some of the goals that he had. This was one of them. His goal was to show us that he is the way to God. You may have a goal, and you may say, I want to know God. Well, the way to achieve that goal is to know Jesus Christ, because that was his goal. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And Philip said, show us the Father. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. It's wonderful. He came to show us that he is not only the way to God, but he shows us what God the Father is like. Another goal that he had was to reveal that he is God. I think sometimes, we tiptoe around this extremely fundamental doctrinal point that in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is God the Son. He is God the Son. In our preamble to the Vertical Church, the video clip that was shown this morning, he used a couple of words that might have slipped by some of you. He said it's not about the soteriological, but it's about the doxological. Okay? And what that means is it's not just about getting a relationship with God by getting saved. That's what soteriology is. It's the doctrine of salvation. But it's about worshiping God. It's about doxology. And that's how he ends this chapter. It's not just about the fact that the gospel was preached, but it produced a vertical relationship so that God would be glorified. So the soteriological is important, but it's not more important than the purpose of it, which is to glorify God. The Lord Jesus revealed that he is God. That's why he's worthy of our worship. One of his other goals was to do this. Very simple. I love this. One time a gentleman said, people complain about the King James Bible being so complicated. And he said, I'm going to read a sentence for you, and there isn't one word in that sentence that has two syllables. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Not two syllables. Every one is a one-syllable word. Is it simple? Why did Jesus come? To save you and to save me. If you're not saved this morning, the Lord Jesus wants to save you. That's his goal. That's one of his goals in life for us. And then he came to do what? To serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many, for as many as would receive him. Another one of his goals was for us to receive him. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in his name. If you've never received him, you can do that today. That was one of the goals of why he came, was that so we could become God's children. The sixth one is what we read this morning. He's looking for a home in my heart and in your heart. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Isn't that a wonderful thought? The God that made the universe wants to live inside my heart. He wants to, now physically that's challenging. I mean, there's four chambers there, and they pump, and they're pretty busy with blood issues. But the figurative heart, the me, the who I am, he wants to be in the center of it all. I often say that Sault Ste. Marie is the center of the universe. Most people don't believe that, but it's true. Especially anybody that traveled up this weekend for a wedding, they may not believe it either. It's too far away from the center of it all, which is down south. But it is true that Christ wants to be in the center of my life, and he wants to be in my heart, and he wants to be in your heart, and he wants to make it home. Are there things in my life or things in your life that make it uncomfortable for him to be there? Well, there's only one thing that really makes it uncomfortable. It's when there's more of me there than there is of him. There's more of my sin than there is of his sinlessness. We have to really work hard at this one to make him comfortable in our hearts. And of course, the last one that I want to mention is this. He came, his goal was so that every one of us would know and appreciate that he wants us to have eternal life. John 3:36 says, "He that has the Son has life." I love that verse. I wish the other part wasn't quite so heavy, though, that he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. So it's a choice, really. It's a choice. You can have Christ in your heart, or you can say, no, there's no room for you. I've got room for everything else, but I don't have room for Christ. His goal was so that he would have a place in your heart and that he would give you eternal life. So what is God's goal for your life? What is God's goal for my life? The nine words, know, be, do, get, have, think, learn, satisfy, love. I'm going to share with you what I think is a prayer that every one of us can pray today if we want to have Christ living in our hearts by faith. This is the first part of the prayer. To know God and become his child by faith in his Son and to do his will. To know God, become his child by faith because of what his Son's done for me at the cross of Calvary when he died for my sins. And because of that, I want to do your will, Lord. And I want to understand your goals for me. I want to have them as my goals. I want your goals to be my goals. I don't want to have my goals that are not your goals. I want your goals, Lord. And to realize that these are the treasures that you want me to have. You want to give those to me. And I realize that your thoughts are the best ones to think. So take my thoughts that aren't your thoughts, and I don't want to think those thoughts anymore. I want to think your thoughts. So I want your goals. I want your thoughts. And when I learn your ways, I'll be satisfied with you, Lord. And your love will fill my heart and my mind. And the result of that goal is that every day, I want to be and I will be more like your Son. It's a long prayer. It's only a few sentences. But it's one that every child of God can pray every day. I want to be more like your Son. That Christ would dwell in my heart through faith. So the eternal purpose that he talks about in Ephesians chapter 3 is that we would be able to give him glory. You see, this mystery was hidden. God's wisdom has now been revealed. He had a great plan, and the plan was to bless the world, and he's including us in that plan. And he says that this wisdom has been revealed to the principalities and powers. This is not just here on planet Earth. This is the universe. This is all the created beings, seen and unseen, that realize the manifold wisdom of God. And he did it all when his Son came to this earth and paid for our sin to open a vertical relationship door to heaven that we might enjoy him forever and bring him glory. That's the plan. How do you do it? Oftentimes, I think people leave a church service, a church meeting, a Bible study, and they don't know how to put it into practice. Let me tell you something. If you never ask God to help you do that, it'll never happen. If you don't seek it with all your heart, it'll never happen. And if you don't knock and say, Lord, open that door, I want that vertical relationship, it will never happen. It's a free will choice. You need to want it. I need to want it. We'll never be any closer to God than when we take those doors down that are keeping us from being closer to Him. We need to ask, seek, and knock. It is an active process. It doesn't happen like that. It is a process. But the will to do it is a one-time choice. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to do what? To present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable will of the Lord. He wants us to be like His Son. What's holding us back? The guy in the mirror. The goals that I have that are not His goals. The thoughts that I have that are not His thoughts. Doing it in my own strength and not His. That's what's keeping us back. I was reading a story, and it's one of those kind of stories where it's an author unknown story. And a wealthy man had a son that he loved very much, and one of the things they liked to do together was to enjoy the rare works of art that this very wealthy man had collected. And one day the son left his father and went into the war, and while there, saved a man's life, and in the process of doing that, died and never returned home to see his dear dad, whose heart was broken beyond repair. And as the father was in mourning one day, just before Christmas, a knock at the door brought the soldier whose life had been saved to the door with a gift in his hand, and it was a painting that he had done of his son. And the father's eyes were filled with tears as all he could do was look at the picture of his son, and he was so thankful for it, and the soldier said, it was the least I could do. I knew how much he loved you. And the father took that picture and took away all of the other paintings that were worth millions and hid them, and all he would want to see every day was the picture of his son. Unfortunately, he died in a few months, and the estate was up for auction, and the auctioneer came, and the notice had gone far and wide, and art collectors from around the globe had come and wanted to buy those rare Picassos and Raphaels and the works of art that they had wanted for their own collection. And the auctioneer said, there's our first picture for sale, our first painting for sale. It was the painting of the sun, and the crowd was rather shocked not to see the famous works of art. And he said, the first painting will be this one. It was a private collection. And he suggested the bidding start at $100, and people were silent. And after a few minutes, got uncomfortable. And finally, he said, will anyone bid? And they said, we don't want to see this one. We want the other ones to be displayed. We're not interested in this one. He said, well, I need to sell this one first. Who'll give me $100? And finally, a voice from the back of the room said, I'll give $10. It was the gardener. He thought the least I could do was keep a memento of the sun. And so with that, he said, going once, going twice, and gone, and sold to the gardener for $10. And as the gavel banged down, he set the gavel to the side, and he said, the auction is now closed. There was a secret stipulation in the auction that as soon as the picture of the sun was sold, the auction would be closed. And of course, everyone was shocked. And he said, this is the principle of what I'm going to tell you, and this really fits in with the story, that whoever gets the sun gets everything. Everybody went home except the gardener. He got it all. Who will take the sun today? Because when you get him, you get everything. And without him, you have nothing. That's what Paul is talking about. If you have the wrong goals in your life, you will end up with nothing. And if Jesus Christ is your goal, you get it all. That's what he's talking about. That's what we're talking about with vertical church. It's going up. And if you seek God's will, if you seek him, if you seek his glory, and you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. And you'll notice in our picture, the goal is you've got to get to the cross first. And there's no way to go up until you kneel at the cross and you submit to him. And with that, the world takes a different perspective. A scientist by the name of Krauss just released a book about the universe that came from nothing. And he said, it is now believed by scientists that we can't exist because nothing can make something. They believe it's possible. This is what we call theoretical physics. Let me tell you something. God made this world for a purpose. It's a designed place for us to live. And the purpose of it is for no other reason than for every one of you and everyone on this planet to make a choice. An informed decision. Some people don't have all the information, you know, that they could have. We have to be fair about it. There are people that have never heard what you have heard. But the more you know, the more you're responsible for. When you decide whether or not you're going to live your life for Jesus Christ, it's the most important decision you have to make. And your goal should be consistent with that decision. It's easy to get detoured on your way, like going through a maze. You have to keep your goals clearly before you. And if your goal is to glorify God, then you and I need to make changes in our lives every day. We need to go back and reassess our goals. When we at Bethel are encouraging each one of us to be involved, it's not because we need to have people fill the chair. That's not the purpose. It's because it's like eating your veggies. It's good for you. I may not like the time commitment of some of the things that I do, but they're good for me. Why? Because they help me reach my goals. When you choose to be involved in something like a ministry like LPS, it's good for you. It's good for the people that you reach out to, but it's good for you. Please consider being involved. It helps you to reach those goals. When you choose not to be involved, and people can't be involved in everything. You have to pick and choose. But when you say, I don't want to be involved in anything, you're going backwards in your goal setting. And the same thing is true with small groups. It's important for Christians to be together, and it's not possible in this format to get to know each other. That's the purpose of small groups. It's important to be involved in Awana ministry or Sunday school groups or to be at the ladies' coffee hour or to be together and to sing and praise God through a cantata. Those are good things because they help us to grow together, but more importantly, they help us reach that goal, which is to worship God, to go vertical. Not just horizontal. We're so taken up with, you know, what I have to do and what you have to do. Paul is saying this in this lovely letter. He's saying, it is a doxology of praise when he says, to him be glory in the church. To him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus. Notice, to all generations. What you do today, parents, will influence your children. What you do today, grandparents, will influence your grandchildren. When we see people involved, it's an encouragement because it's good for every one of us to do that. We can't be bystanders. You know, some of us are going to go home today and put the game on at 1 o'clock. We're the bystanders. The guys that are getting the exercise are in the box on the field somewhere. There's 22 of them running around. And there's millions of people sitting down who desperately need exercise watching them. It's not a good thing. And we desperately need spiritual exercise, and we need to be involved. So I want to leave you with a thought this morning. Our goal in life should be to glorify God. And the way we do that is by letting him live in our hearts by faith. So please think about that as you plan your fall and your year ahead. It may not be convenient, and it may not be comfortable. You know, the most inconvenient thing that I ever did in my life was becoming a Christian until I realized what the consequences were. My life is not my own. It's now Christ lives in me. And this is the mystery Paul talks about in Colossians. The hope that we have, that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Imagine, we're only going to be here just a short time. And it's only what we do for the Lord that's going to matter. Watching the game today isn't going to matter. Cutting my lawn isn't going to matter. What's going to matter is how God can use us for his glory. So please consider that as you plan your fall, as you set your goals, to think about that, that there is a great purpose that we have in life. And to do that, we need to reach those short-term goals. And it may mean adjusting some things in our lives. But it's worth it. It's worth it. I've never ever seen an investment, a plan that didn't take a lot of work to get the result. God's plan is a great one. He wants every one of us to be like his son. That's a great goal. That means that things have to be chipped away, don't they? A step at a time, a day at a time, but it takes that first time choice. So let's pray together that God will not only change us for being here today, but he'll change our attitudes in what we're going to do for him this year. And not wait till next year to do it, but to do it this year, to do it this fall. And may God bless you as you launch out to serve him in a special and unique way in your own lives, and as we do it together. Father, we're thankful for your word today that reminds us that we have been designed by you so that you might live in us and that you might give us the ability by the working of your Holy Spirit not only to be strengthened but guided and to be used by you to bring glory to your name. And we're confessing this morning that we can't do it on our own, that we need help to be motivated, that we need to see that it's your goals that we're trying to achieve. And we thank you for the example of your son today. We thank you that our Lord Jesus was willing to go all the way for us. And he didn't hold back. He went all the way to the cross. We're thankful that he died that he might rise again, that he settled our sin question, and he rose again for our justification, that we might be used so that we would be able to bless your name in word and in deed. Help us to be vessels that are suitable for the use of our master and to recognize that our greatest goal in life is to be your servants. So we ask you to challenge us today, to help us to bless your name and to bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask it in his holy name. Amen. Thank you. If you're a visitor today, please go to guest reception. Someone will be there to talk with you, and God bless you and help you as you plan your fall activities. Thank you.